Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
There's money to be made, Tommy.
Where?
Random phone calls people are getting that could end with them making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Legit.
Nice.
So why the hell does no one want to have the conversation?
Mm.
I mean, there's good reason.
Yeah.
But the fact that we keep getting these random calls, Thomas, means that some people must be taking up these strangers on these deals.
Yes.
Selling their homes in a phone call.
Yep.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So tell me if I'm the only one this is happening to.
Whatever.
Over the past 3 months,
yeah,
I've gotten at least a dozen phone calls from random 585 numbers. And when I answer the phone, there's an energetic guy. Hello! This is a phone call inquiring about your home, and then they give my address back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they have my phone number,
yep,
and they know where I live.
Yep.
And this person, I'd like to know if you'd be interested in discussing whether or not the value of your home is worth selling to us at this moment. Right.
So
over
they're
the phone.
Trolling for just anybody to sell a house.
You got it. Yes, they want me to
get
sell
you
them.
Thinking about it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So have you guys gotten these phone calls?
I've gotten phone calls and texts.
Okay.
Oh.
And actual mail.
Yeah, I've gotten the mail. That's like a flyer that. Is I don't know if it's actually mailed or if somebody's like going around putting them on everybody's
yeah.
mailbox.
Have you gotten the phone calls?
I have not gotten the phone
calls.
Ooh,
your house is busted. You've got a busted house.
I don't know if, you know, like, because we just bought our house, so it could be one
probably
of those things.
You never have the lights on, so.
What?
Might be abandoned.
Okay.
252 WCMF. How common are these phone calls to folks in the greater Rochester area? Is everybody getting these things that owns a home right now?
They got to be getting desperate to find something to sell.
I mean, that's just it, right?
Like, they're just trolling for business.
But, like, here's the thing. The fact that I've gotten so many of these phone calls over and over again, as insane as it sounds, to sell your house to someone over the phone, that means that some people must be selling their homes this way.
Well, yeah.
Well, right?
We noticed we took our dog for a walk Friday afternoon, and we went down one street where there were, like, three houses for sale all in the same – they were all the same realtor.
Okay.
So I wonder if something like that happened where this person kind of targeted one specific area and got a bunch of callbacks.
Okay, but let's walk down that road, right? Like, even listening to their pitch sounds insane. Can I tell you a quick sidebar really pisses me off? When I'll listen like an idiot, and then I'll – just to be polite, I'll be like, no, we're not interested. They don't even say goodbye. Just click on the next
one. Oh, it's not even –
hey, man.
No, thank you.
If I'm going to give you the 7 seconds for you to make your pitch, at least say thank you, goodbye. Don't hang up on me, you dick.
But I would have jumped at that offer at one point in my life.
Well, how could you sell a house that was under a double mortgage?
We'll get there. So, yeah, I had that house.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I had taken a second out, and I had maxed that out.
Uh-huh.
But if you told me, like, it's now worth an extra $50,000, in my mind, thinking I could pay all this off,
okay,
put 50 grand in my pocket, and be out from underneath this thing.
No, great. That's a great point.
So that's what I would jump at.
Okay, so question. You have gotten out from underneath your double mortgage.
Right.
Right. And you're square.
Right.
Where do you go now?
I'd rent.
Where?
Anywhere. Busted.
So that's the problem. A couple of years ago.
Sad Towers downtown.
Sad Towers.
Where every room has a race car bed.
A couple of years ago, you could do that.
Yeah.
It was no big deal. Right. Now there's nowhere to go. And that's what makes this
the most
insane.
But here's the thing. I don't follow things. Like, if I wasn't in this business, I wouldn't even have followed that close that I couldn't rent someplace.
Okay.
I would just assume like rent stayed the same.
There is no way you're that stupid. There is no way you would
stick
have been
around,
that.
Buddy.
Like, yes, I guess in a different time.
Yeah.
Right? Like this. But then they wouldn't be calling you because homes wouldn't have been in such demand.
Right. They weren't.
Like, even if you were willing to have this conversation and sell your home to someone over the phone, which sounds nuts, you would have nowhere to go.
Unless I got, like, mad bank. Like, let's say you bought your house for $150,000.
Okay, yeah.
And now they're calling up going, hey, man, we can get $400,000 for your house.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have put me super wealthy as far as having cash. Like, I could never dream of.
Okay.
Like, if it went up that high,
yeah,
like, then it would solve all, see, to me, like, that solves all my problems. I get the monkey off my back.
Yeah.
I put cash in my pocket, and then I go rent.
Okay.
But your cash is going to go pretty quick with the rent, I think.
Not if the
unless
cash
you're willing to like live in like a studio apartment or a one bedroom. Like you're going to dramatically downsize where you're living.
And downgrade.
Yeah, but I can't afford what I got now.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was running out of time.
Okay. So then are they angling at those people, folks that are underneath?
Sure.
Underwater?
Yeah, because they go, hey, man, you get rid of the house and put 50 G's in your pocket. Who ain't signing up for that?
Bro, you used to run a commercial like that, and everybody that did it went bankrupt.
Yeah, but see how good it sounds?
252-WCMF, 252-9. We'll just give you 50 grand extra.
You also know yourself, and if you have that much cash to spend, it's not going to be spent in the right way.
Right, but I'm also dumb enough when somebody says $50,000 to $100,000, I automatically assume I am wealthy.
Okay.
I can parlay that into more money.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about these phone calls everyone's been getting, asking them to sell their homes over the phone. And, you know, you bring up a good point.
What's that? Kimmy, open up a string of limoncello stands with my money? Tummy limoncello?
Kimmy, it was a couple months ago where there was not a single home for sale in all of West Irondequoit for like the first time ever. It was bananas insane, right? So these could be folks that are overpaying and making the money reselling right away, like these companies that are calling you, right? Okay. But then brings an ethical issue.
What's that?
Because like these people that are calling your phone to try and buy your house, these are not like people that want to live in your house.
No, these are realtors looking for business.
Or these are companies that are trying to buy the house and then make money in some other way.
Turn
right?
it into Airbnbs, whatever.
So we've seen in bigger cities to that point, there are corporations that are either buying homes to rent them as that or Airbnbs. Right. Now, we don't know how prevalent that is in our area, if it's happening at all. But it's problematic.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's taking homes away from folks who actually need them to live.
Squeezing people out.
And it's driving up home prices. Mm-hmm. The way to stop it is not to sell to those people.
Right.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
The phone number is 252-WCMF.
I think we know the answer.
I'm going to start with Kimmy, 252-9263. Would you take less money for your home to sell it to real people as opposed to knowingly selling it to a company that was going to pay you more?
I would like to say yes, but I guess it depends on how much more that company is willing to offer.
Give me a line.
If it's, I don't know.
20 grand.
20 grand... would probably be around the line, 25.
So 25 grand is your line. If you can make $25,000 or more selling it to a corporation, you would sell out, ruin the country, and take that $25,000, which, by the way, is only like 18 after taxes. The taxes.
The taxes get you.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Would you sell your house for more knowing it's going to a private corporation?
I would sell my house to actual Satan. Like actual Satan, like the dude himself standing on fire on my porch. And he says, I've got all your money right here. All your dreams have come true. Yes, Satan, thank you.
Why does Satan sound like Kato? Oh, I'm going to sell the house, see? Watch out.
I'm definitely selling the house.
Are you? Siri, you don't even want to think about it?
Bro, I got to make money.
No, you don't.
I got to survive.
Not at your age. I love guys your age. I got to make money. I got to survive. No, you don't. You're fine. Your stupid generation got set up for everything.
And I would think like with the
house. Enjoy your Social Security, stupid.
Oh, I will.
And it's gone.
I would think with the house you live in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, your wife raised her kids in that home. She's probably going to push for some young couple or somebody that has a family because she wants, you know, that. Those people to enjoy it the way she did. Like, you're not going to have a say in this at all.
I understand, but I was thinking more of my house when I lived in West Virginia myself.
All right.
But
you don't have as much of an attachment to it, though.
But I know, and my wife is, you know, as you say.
Yeah.
Right, but you know how women be when they see them big dollars, right?
I don't know.
I don't know, though. But
she
want to
go
about
live like they do on them TV shows she watches, right?
What, what's the TV,
Hills
what's
over
the TV
here?
Show called? An extra $25,000?
Miami over here. The real ladies of Beverly Hills. Yeah, I think if the money was right, she'd jump. She'd find some way to justify it in her head. I think all people do.
I think you're underestimating how much of an attachment people have to those first homes. Like, I know people, dads especially, who will still drive by the homes that they sold to judge the landscaping the next owners
did. I am guilty of that.
You think that same person's going to sell to somebody who's going to rent their house? I don't know.
And down those lines, going down those lines, there was a time.
There was a time, a chintzy time.
Thank you. And I don't know if it still happens, where realtors would encourage people buying homes to write letters to the homeowners talking about who they were and what they were going to do with their home.
The people of character.
Yes. Like, for example, like when we were looking for our house, right? A couple of places we wrote, you know, we have a child and a child on the way, and we're really looking forward to our kids growing up in your home.
The school system and all.
Well, no, it was more like, we're going to treasure your house. Our kids are going to love it. I love how you have no soul. You don't even know why people wrote these letters. I have a child I need to send to school. Thank you. Like, Kimmy, you know, like, do those realtors still ask people to write those letters about,
no,
like...
No, I think it's actually kind of illegal in some cases, because they found that people...
What religion are you?
They found that people were lying and saying they had, like, terrible things, or... I don't know if it's actually illegal, but it's strongly discouraged for a lot of people.
252-WCMF, we're talking about these phone calls people are getting to sell their home over the phone. Cold call, we'd like to buy your house. I've been getting a dozen of them the last, like, 3 months. Troy's on CMF. Hey, Troy, how are you, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. What do you got?
I think you got this a little backwards. The people who are cold calling you to buy your home are not going to pay extra. You're going to make the money by selling it to regular people. They want to pay below market value for your house.
Okay,
below market?
No, that makes sense. I mean, it's a situation like you described, is people are desperate and they're looking for a way to get their hands on any kind of cash they can.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, Troy, I'm talking about in a hypothetical situation what it would take for you to to sell your home to someone that just called you out of the blue, Troy.
There would be, I'd have to get $450,000.
I know, we didn't need a number.
He had it in his
head. I'd have to get at least $450,000.
All right, if any of you listen and have Troy on your cold
it's
call
a steal.
All right, Troy. Troy, let me ask you this. You got kids, wife, what's a sitch?
Nope. Single.
Single guy, okay. Would you sell your house for $25,000 more to a private company instead of a couple actual person that wanted to buy that house?
Monster. If I could get what I wanted for,
Monster. You're a monster, Troy.
I think he's most people.
I don't know. I mean, look, there's an ethical debate.
Hey,
Troy.
Corporations need money, too.
No, they don't. Actually, they got all the money. Troy, thank you for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
All right, have a good one.
There goes Monster Troy. Wants $450,000. He doesn't care how he gets it. I mean, like, by doing this, yes, it's so funny because, like, oh, wow, I get $25,000 now by ruining my life forever down the road. Oh, no. The consequences of my actions. Let's talk to Chuck. Hey, Chucky, you're on CMF. What's up, buddy?
Hey, you forgot to ask their qualifier for this situation.
Okay.
There's two different kinds of sellers. There's people that are empty nesters, basically, that are moving out of houses to downsize. And then there's the people that want to move into another house. And if you're moving into another house and you're buying another one, you ain't taking the $25,000 less.
Okay, so you're saying,
what he's saying.
Okay, I
get
what you're
saying. You're not going to get anything better than what you already have.
All right, but Chucky, let's walk down. Let's take a walk down ethical road. You want to hold hands and walk with me, Chucky?
Sure, why not?
All right, great. So, Chuck, did you got kids, wife? What's a sitch?
They're all grown.
Okay, but you had kids at one point, and you remember, Chuck, the wonderful memories that you made inside that home of yours. You remember those, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds thrilled.
Now you got two people standing on your front step. You have a young couple holding a baby with another one standing at 2-3 years old, and they're looking at you with big, bright eyes, and they're going, wow, this would be a beautiful place for us to grow up. And then there's a man in a suit, tie worth more than your car. He's got a pen, and it's not like one of the plastic ones he bought at a store at Eastview Mall. And he goes, sign right here, $25,000 more, and I'll push these people right off your front step on top of it. You taking the 25 grand, Chucky?
Was I selling the house in the first point?
You are selling the house, yes.
Because I wanted to sell it, or because they're showing up to buy it?
Pick the evil guy.
You want evil. You try to justify.
He's picking evil.
You try to justify evil. You monster! Chuck, you're a monster!
I can't tell you that because I haven't gone there yet.
All right.
Which tells me he'll go there.
I'm going to have to make that decision pretty soon, though.
Oh, you are going to sell your house.
Because he's old.
Okay. All right. So you're downsizing?
Yeah. Well, I may relocate.
He's going to Florida.
I may move out of New York.
He's going to Florida.
All right. All right. Where all the corporations live, Chucky. Chucky, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Tell me you're a monster. It's fine. I'm only gonna judge you a little bit.
Ocala's calling, baby.
Ocala's calling. One of the worst Clash songs of all time. Ocala's calling, go to Price of a Boy. We got Facebook messages coming in. You know, get us at WCMF or the Break Room Facebook page. Okay. It says, don't use my name because my wife doesn't know this.
Oh.
The third or fourth time I got this call, I let them give me a number. It was about 25% more than Zillow said my house is worth.
All right.
But they said they needed to inspect the house so I guess it's either a way to get in the door and then lower the offer, or it's a scam to steal some kind of information that they can make money with.
Could be a combo plate of both those things.
Delicious screw you over, yes. Combo plate?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say you get this call. They're going to offer you 25% more than Zillow.
Sold.
That this guy said. But they have to inspect the house first. You think they just buy it sight unseen?
A lot of people were, maybe.
For 25% more?
All right.
Would you let them in?
Oh, yeah. Or I can get that 25%.
Well, I didn't see this over here, though. Mm. Oh, and then you got this problem over here. Oh, and your ugly face has been living in this house for how long? Yeah, they turn to their partner.
Get out of my house.
The ugly has brought down the value. We have to, it's ugly depreciation. It's not good. And I mean, I guess here's the thing. It's not the first time we've seen stuff like this. Because, Kimmy, there have always been those like plastic signs in the city. In certain neighborhoods, as they say, I pay cash for houses.
Yeah, yeah, we'll buy any house.
Yeah, we buy houses. There's a bunch of them.
Could this just be more? Is this just a more technological version of that same situation?
It sounds like it, right? They're just fishing.
Okay. I'm really disappointed that you guys are willing to sell your house to a corporation instead of a sweet young family. By the way, they're homeless now.
And by the way, who says
they join the circus?
Who says that family stays sweet?
What?
Like, well, that family's going to have problems.
Look at it.
That one kid's going to go bad.
So what?
And so don't paint this great picture of your family.
What are you?
Most families suck. I'd rather look at that corporation over there, that beautiful logo. That logo's been like that for 50 years.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is not about an argument.
Yeah.
Because you can make a case that either of these chain restaurants are a delicious place to go spend time with your family. What this story does, however, it proves.
Oh.
It proves that if you have this, nothing else on your menu matters.
Damn.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. There is a brand new top chain restaurant in America.
Number one, baby.
So Olive Garden held the title of top chain restaurant in America for the last 7 years.
Wow.
Until Texas Roadhouse just came by and knocked them off their perch.
Damn. So they're now number one with the steak.
Yeah, that's number one restaurant, period.
Yeah.
Chain restaurant in America. Do you understand why Texas Roadhouse has gained the ground over Olive Garden?
Because usually, like, I would think, like, portions have a lot to do with these types of rankings.
Okay.
And they both give you a good amount of food, so I can't see one edging out the other in that category. So I'm not sure. I guess we just love barbecue more than we do Italian?
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know. I don't know why all of a sudden that would overtake one.
Is Texas Roadhouse more of a steakhouse or a barbecue?
It is a steakhouse,
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the, you know, if you want a steak and you don't want to spend $50 on it, you go to Texas Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. And it's a fine steak. Fine steak.
So you say there's something going on there that you got to have.
I'm not here to argue which
one
is
better.
But I
know what it is.
Okay, I am here to argue. These two restaurants prove if you have this, you need nothing else. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Bread.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Because you are a big old biscuit boy.
Bingo.
You want your buttery, sweet biscuits.
A good bread basket and something that makes it unique, because it's not just about the bread at Texas Roadhouse. It's about that
cinnamon butter.
You got it. But here's the thing.
Because it's contrast with the steak and the salt.
But here's the thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't just the Texas Roadhouse, bro. Because Olive Garden.
No, they got the breadsticks.
They got the breadsticks.
Which are delicious and hot.
If you have great bread.
Who doesn't want a hot stick in your mouth, baby?
If you have great bread.
Yeah.
You do not need anything else. Breadsticks from Olive Garden. Rolls of cinnamon butter from Texas Roadhouse.
Yes.
If I see this morning and
bread rules.
Thank you. If I'm Applebee's, Chili's, Buffalo Wild Wings, I am sprinting into the kitchen.
And it seems it's an easy fix. Like, bread seems to be easy. Like, you could dazzle me with bread.
I agree with you 100%.
Like, the meal could be subpar, but I wouldn't even notice it. Because if you, like, whip out all that cool bread and all them fancy butters, I feel like I'm really getting my value.
Oh, no, it goes a step further, and here's the psychological behind it, man.
What's that?
You're going to be so full on the delicious bread.
Yes.
I'm not even going to notice that my food is subpar.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you've blown up on the bread. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
No, you're right.
To further my point, we know that Red Lobster is in serious financial trouble, at least they were for a while.
Yeah.
Right before they declared bankruptcy, they started charging for their Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Mm. Yeah.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah, and people love them biscuits.
Oh, yeah.
So with this knowledge, no, I mean, the fact that Olive Garden was number one for seven straight years, why does every chain restaurant not load you up? Like, when I go to Applebee's, why am I not getting bread up front?
They should do that.
Right? When I went to TGI Fridays, no longer exists. Why were you not giving me bread? How much does it cost you?
Because you never, I guess the thought would also be you would order less because you're filling up on bread, but you're already, you're putting your order in before you get full on that bread. And I've never ordered less because of it.
100%.
So I do remember, like, we went to Agatina's with our boss, and I hadn't been there in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I forgot how, like, the first thing when I go to an Italian restaurant, I'm anticipating when they bring the bread over, before anything else. That basket of Italian warm bread and butter is like heaven.
I agree. I agree with you.
Yep.
And I'll take it even a step further.
Oh, go for it.
Locally, we see this play out. Again, Olive Garden has been knocked off their perch as the top chain restaurant in America. They were that for seven straight years. Texas Roadhouse knocked them off, but we're not here to argue who's better. It's the bread. Both of them have the bread, and that's why they're number one. You will be drawn to a garbage plate based on how good the bread that comes with the plate is. I promise you that the plate you prefer is in direct correlation to how good the bread you get to sop up all them plate juices when it's all said and done.
Because it's usually kind of like an Italian bread that's on top of your plate.
Oh, well, it depends on where you go. Some places do straight up white bread.
Yeah, I'm not great with just a slice.
Some people do rolls, which I'm not a huge fan of. But no, you're right.
But like, that Tahoe sliced bread is really good.
Agreed, Steve.
And you get those two little pads of butter, which you really don't need.
Well,
you do not need any butter with this meal.
You put the butter on the bread, and then you use the bread to sop up the plate juice. Yes. Everybody knows how to do this, stupid. I got to get the little onion pieces in there so I get a blast of onion along with the eventual heartburn I will have from all of this plate juice that I'm eating. Right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
All right, we're all in agreement here.
Yeah.
No.
If you want to open up a restaurant and you want to make a gajillion dollars,
it's all about the bread.
Fill them up with bread. Mm. Reds. Unbelievably good bread.
And you know this country loves them bread. We love bread.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, America was founded
on bread.
On bread.
Right. Look how wide we are. Everybody's walking around with big old bread bellies.
Bread bellies.
Bro, you don't think this country's got bread belly?
There is a restaurant, and the name of it escapes me, that is in Clifton Springs, New York. My wife does one day a week seeing patients at the hospital out there in Clifton Springs. She will stop every Thursday and get a loaf of bread from this Italian, this like high-end restaurant. Only the bread. And it's some of the best bread I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
I'll go further. I will drive 20 minutes to the Honeyway Falls Marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
In Honeyway Falls.
They got the bread?
To get a sub, because the bread there is so good.
Okay.
It's just the bread.
Yeah.
But is it partly, though, the... Because I don't know if the bread would be so special if it wasn't time and place. You know what I mean? Like, the warm bread, the butter, sitting at that table waiting for your food.
Oh, that's what I mean.
It's the draw to the bread.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if the bread is as, you know, appetizing afterwards or bringing it home. It's not the same.
You don't think so?
I'm just saying it's better at the restaurant.
Okay. Well, I do like when people bring me bread.
Yes. I think
I don't like
something
getting
about
bread.
Like waiting for it and when that bread shows up and everybody's like, ooh.
Yeah, I think it's the whole ambiance.
The presentation.
And that's uniquely American.
The bread thing.
The bread basket? Is uniquely American.
It is?
You did not get... Bro.
What?
Go to China. You think you're getting bread? Go to Mexico. Good luck.
What are you talking about?
You ain't getting no bread
in
Mexico.
You saying there's no bread in China?
There is no bread in China.
There ain't no bread in China. There ain't no bread in China.
Dude, when's the last time you seen a big-ass Chinese hoagie, man? With big fish flapping out of it?
But bin ma, what's that like roll, the soft
Bani.
Bread?
But that's
bin ma, ban mi.
You talking about those buns, those steamy buns?
Yeah.
That ain't no bread,
no,
man.
No, what do you call
that? Is that what it's called?
That's bread, ban mahana.
It's kind of
Benihana.
That ain't no dipping bread.
What do you call that?
Also, like, you could have bread at any time you want. Like, you could go to any bakery here and get bread, but we don't most of the time, unless it's a special occasion.
And that's American, too. Bread on demand.
Shut up. No, what about Italy, where they invented bread?
Bro.
What?
I don't think their bread's that. I don't think Italian bread over there is as good as our bread. Our bread's way better.
No. Because,
you know, we add a lot of stuff to it. You know, like when you go to like if you see like actual European food, it's like puny and kind of crappy. And then like we bring it over here and we fatten it up nice. We turn meatballs into soccer balls. We have endless piles of pasta.
It was only a matter of time before he started going off on his fat stuff.
America.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.